Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of TAG Immobilien AG regarding the publication of the interim statement Q3 2021. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May now hand you over to Martin Thiel, CFO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, many thanks and good morning, everyone. This is Martin from TAG. Many thanks for dialing in today's conference call for the third quarter results. We will go through the results quite briefly of the first nine months, third quarter, and then, of course, discuss our guidance for the financial year 2022 that we have issued today. Let's start on page number four of the presentation, which is also available on our website if you want to download it. Page four shows the highlights for the third quarter and the first nine months of 2021. Looking at the operational performance of the German portfolio, vacancy was slightly reduced from 5.8% in the previous quarter to 5.7%. Today, vacancy at the end of October was around 5.6%, so we are at least on a positive track again. In the total portfolio, vacancy was around 6%. It's nearly unchanged to the previous quarter. Like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction at 1.7%, that compares to 1.6% in the previous quarter, and a slight increase in FFO or a more stable FFO, 46 million in the third quarter compared to 45.9 million in the second quarter of 2021. In the EPRA NTA and in the LTV, no big changes. The next major changes, and surely the next positive changes, will happen at the end of financial year 2021, so in the fourth quarter, when we will carry out our second valuation for 2021. Looking at acquisitions and disposals in Germany, so far we have acquired no new units in 2021. Markets, as discussed in previous call, are simply highly competitive. I mean, what is the good news on the valuation side? That means increasing prices is then, of course, for the acquisition side, not the best news. I mean, we stay optimistic that we will be able to source new acquisitions also in the future, but it's clear the market is extremely competitive. Looking to disposals, we continued our disposal program for non-core assets, so 343 units disposed, slight book profit of 400,000 euros, selling multiple above 20x. This is more an ongoing disposal program that we carry out here in Germany now for four years. Coming to page number five, looking at the operational performance in Poland, thinking we have definitely good news. Increased revenues from sales in the first nine months of 2021 in comparison to 2020, and also our strongly increased results operations Poland, that's going directly into the FFO II. This result is today really completely a sales result, and it ended up at 6.1 million euros compared to 2.5 million euros in the previous year. Looking at the total pipeline that we have contractually secured, also these numbers increased not only in comparison to the previous year, also in comparison to the previous quarter. We are now in the build-to-hold units at a contractually secured pipeline of 8,500 units, and the build-to-sell units pipeline comprises 3,600 units. Today, we are publishing our new guidance for 2022, but let us first mention that the guidance for 2021 is unchanged. We keep the FFO guidance at the midpoint at 180 million. This should be definitely good achievable when you look at the results. That translates into an FFO per share of 1.23 euro, and a dividend guidance for the financial year 2021 paid in 2022 of 0.92. The new guidance for 2022 shows an increase of 6% in all metrics, so in the FFO in absolute terms, the FFO per share, and in the dividend per share. The new midpoint for the new guidance regarding the FFO 2022 stands at 190 million. We will come back to that a little bit later. Page seven shows the details regarding the income statement. Looking at the total rental growth, and comparing the first 9 months of 2021 with the first 9 months of 2020, we saw an increase of 4%, out of which 1.7% is from total like-for-like rental growth. The remaining 2.3% is coming then from acquisitions that closed in the course of 2020 that are now in full in our P&L in 2021. Slight reduced net rental income quarter on quarter, but this is only caused by higher maintenance costs by 400,000 euros in the third quarter. So not really a trend. This is always a kind of swing that we have. Looking at the net income from sales, this positive development is mainly coming from the business in Poland. So in the first 9 months, 2021, the net income from sales in Poland was at 10.5 million, even after the effect from the purchase price allocation, which reduced this result by 3.1 million. So eliminating this non-cash effect from the purchase price allocation, the net income from sales in Poland would be close to 14 million euros. So beside the fact that we have today just very small income from net actual rent, we today already have, as last year, a quite attractive cash flow from disposals in Poland. Yeah, I already mentioned that the next valuation will be done, as always, at year-end 2021. We saw a quite strong valuation uplift of 5.2% in the first half. Looking in first indications that we have from our valuer and that we also have internally, I think you should expect also a quite positive valuation result for the second half, whether this is exactly then in line with the first half or even lower, perhaps a little bit lower, that needs to be seen. But for us, it's clear that the positive valuation trend continues also in the second half of 2021. Coming to page number 8, we show you the calculation of EBITDA, FFO, and AFFO. In all metrics, we've seen an increase. EBITDA increased by 3% in comparison from the first 9 months of 2021, the first 9 months of 2020. FFO increased even a little bit higher by 5%, also coming from higher, or not only coming from the higher EBITDA, but also supported by lower net financial results and slightly lower cash taxes. And also the AFFO improved quite strongly by 30 million, clearly due to a higher FFO. And we also used a little bit less CapEx than in the previous year. So therefore, we saw a strong increase in the AFFO. Please be aware that the AFFO and the FFO and also the EBITDA shown on this page is purely coming still from the German business. Page number 8 also shows on the bottom right a detailed calculation of the result that is coming from Poland, which is today and still to the largest part a result from disposals. Page number 9 shows the balance sheet. That's just worth mentioning that the cash position is still very strong with 280 million, even after payment of the dividend in May 2021. Page number 10 shows the EPRA NTA calculation. The EPRA NTA per share stands now at 23.88 euros compared to 21.95 euros at the beginning of the year. So that's a 9% increase. If you include the dividend payment in this increase that we have done in May, then the increase stands in total at 13%. But please be aware that as in the past, the EPRA NTA does not add back transaction costs. The footnote we gave here a picture or a calculation how the EPRA NTA would develop if we would add back this transaction cost, so mainly real estate transfer tax. In this case, the EPRA NTA, just for illustration purposes, would stand at 27.13 euros. Just as an information, in September 2021, we exercised the cleanup call for our convertible bonds 2017-2022. So as of today, this convertible bond has converted, or to be more precise, we have paid back that in cash, so we issued no new shares. Therefore, there's just one convertible bond as of today outstanding, the convertible bond that we issued last year, which is not in the money. The strike price is here close to 35 euros. So therefore, in the EPRA NTA calculation, as well as in the FFO calculation, you will not find in the future any diluted numbers as long as the convertible bond from last year is not in the money. Page 11 shows the financing structure. LTV stands at 44%, so that's nearly exactly in line with our LTV target of 45%. Flipping to page number 13, here's the overview about our portfolio. The total GDV stands at 6.4 billion, out of which 282 million is coming from the Polish portfolio. On the map on page number 13, and that's correct for the third quarter, you see four locations after the balance sheet date. Perhaps you have seen that in the press release. We have entered a fifth location in Poland, which is Krakow in the south of Poland, with a first small acquisition of 230 units. But other acquisitions in Krakow will follow, so we have been, in the meanwhile, represented in Poland in five locations. Page number 14 shows like-for-like rental growth. As I said, we came out at 1.7% total like-for-like rental growth, excluding the effects from vacancy reduction. The like-for-like rental growth was even a little bit higher at 1.8, as we have had on a net number. Negative effect just by 10 basis points from changes in vacancy. The total investments annualized, you see this on the top right of page number 14, stays at 20 euros per square meter, so that's really everything that's maintenance, that's capitalized maintenance, and that's modernization capex, which is very much in line with the two previous years. Page number 15 shows the development in the vacancy rates. You know that we saw an increase in the first quarter of the year from 5.3% to 5.9%. We have managed to reduce this slightly in June to 5.8%, in September to 5.7%. As I said, in October we are down to 5.6%. Our target for the full year stands at 4.8% to 5.0%. So let's see how the fourth quarter develops, or how November and December develop. In the past years, we have managed to reduce vacancy rates by approximately 50 basis points. So it's clear our target, let's say, to come as close to this 5% as possible. On pages number 17 and following, we show you the development in Poland. Just to point out that we had further acquisitions, so that the total build-to-hold pipeline increased from 8,200 units in the last quarter now to 8,500. And I already mentioned the new location in Krakow, which is not included in this number, as the acquisition was done after the balance sheet date. Yeah, then we should turn to the guidance, which is on page 21. That's the guidance for the financial year 2021, which is unchanged. So the midpoint of the guidance stands at 180 million. That's a 4% increase. Looking at the results so far this year, I would say this guidance is quite comfortable, so that should be very well achievable. And as always, the payout ratio stands at 75%. So also, because the FFO per share guidance is unchanged, the dividend guidance is unchanged at 92%. Page 22 shows the new guidance for financial year 2022. We expect an increase in FFO, FFO per share, and dividend per share of 6%. This guidance is, as in the past, without any new acquisitions and without any disposals, and it purely refers to the German rental business. For the Polish rental business, which has basically now started in June, we expect a result which is slightly positive, but not really material. So therefore, we decided that to make it more comparable with previous years for 2022, this is again purely for the German business. For 2023, we should then expect for the first time a combined FFO guidance for the German and the Polish business. This 190 million FFO in absolute terms translates in an FFO per share of 1.30 euro. 75% payout ratio leads to a dividend per share guidance for the financial year 2022, paid out in 2023, of 98 cents. And finally, on page number 23, you see the FFO bridge. So the most important differences between the FFO 2021 that we expect to come out at 180 million and the expected FFO for the next financial year. I mean, if you keep that really short, then you can say, well, we expect higher rent by approximately 6 million. That's a like-for-like rental growth if we do the exact calculation of 1.8 to 1.9%. And we expect a reduction of financing costs for our German portfolio of around 4 million. There are also some smaller effects, for example, higher net income from services by 2.5 million personal expenses if we have, let's say, the regular salary increases and other effects which are also separately looked at, not that material, that lead then to the new guidance. That's it from my side, a short overview about the third quarter results, which are, from our point of view, perhaps in line with what was expected, and the new guidance for 2022 that shows, even without new acquisitions and based on the German portfolio, an increase of 6% from 2023 onwards. We will expect more contribution from our Polish portfolio. You are very well aware, I think, of how we expect that this pipeline in Poland translates into results. You know that we also have in the guidance, in the presentation here, an outlook for the development of the number of units. So this will be something definitely attractive and meaningful for FFO contribution from 2023-2024 onwards. Many thanks for listening so far, and of course, now we're happy to take your questions.
So we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Kai Klose of Berenberg. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. I've got a couple of questions, if I may. The first one is on page 25 of the presentation. Could you indicate why, for some part of the portfolio, like Leipzig, for example, we have seen a 370 bps increase in vacancy rates, as well as in other cities like Salzgitter, 100 bps, or Chemnitz, 170 bps increase in vacancy rates? Secondly, on page 26, what was the reason for a negative rent reversion or negative like-for-like rental growth in Salzgitter? And then the third question is on page 14. Obviously, I think it's the first time for a long time that we saw a negative impact from vacancy changes on the total like-for-like. When and how do you expect this trend to reverse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good morning, Kai. Many thanks for the questions. Starting with page number 25, if you compare the vacancy rates shown in column September 2021 and the vacancy rates shown in column 2020, you should be aware that the 2020 numbers exclude the acquisitions in 2020. So therefore, we have presented on page 26 a kind of like-for-like comparison with vacancy rates, and you already mentioned this slide, so perhaps it's a better view to look at page 26 to see really the developments in the regions. We had an increase in vacancy rate in Rostock and in Salzgitter. Looking also in the previous quarters, this was a quite similar picture, so this increase was mainly coming from, I would say, the first half of the year. Yeah, especially in Rostock, where also Greifswald is included, we had here really an effect from students who were not really renting apartments during the pandemic. We saw in Salzgitter also reduced turnover that led then to the fact that in Salzgitter, where we of course are trying to attract also tenants from other landlords, reletting results in our portfolio were not as expected. Chemnitz is mainly modernization and CapEx driven, as we are investing quite a lot. In general, I mean, it's very clear and we're very open that we expected more in vacancy reduction at the beginning of the year, or let's say at the end of last year when we published the guidance. We are standing now at 5.6% in October. Our original target was to reduce that to 5.0%. So that's not extremely far away, and we're optimistic for the remaining 2 months. Yeah, but also the fact, as I said, that we had, although it is very slight, negative effect from vacancy changes on our total rental growth of 10 basis points is, of course, nothing that we had planned at the beginning of the year. But for us, it's clear this is not really something that now changes our business. So we're very confident that we hopefully can already show at the end of the year not only further success in vacancy reduction, but also clearly positive effects from vacancy changes on our like-for-like rental growth. So perhaps for us, compared to Yasa, some other companies, a little bit more difficulties coming from the first half of the year, as in 2020, from the pandemic regarding reletting processes. But if you ask us, well, is this something that is really structural in your market? We think the answer is a clear no.
Many thanks. And maybe the last question regarding the investment markets and tax acquisition activities. You mentioned that the competition is quite tight. Have you considered maybe to sell a larger part or some parts of the existing letting portfolio in order to recycle capital and to invest that in Poland, for example?
Yet we think about more disposals, but you should not expect really large block sales. So we're not talking about, 10,000 units, but to bring portfolios to the markets of, let's say, 1,000 units or 2,000 units, simply use this momentum, this high demand that we see in the markets, this large competition. We think that's something that makes sense. So therefore, it's not the case that we now change into a net seller, but I would say selling a little bit more than in the past in this environment makes sense, and we have the chance to recycle this capital into really attractive and high-yielding properties in Poland. And that's, of course, for us a good situation.
Understood. Thanks so much.
The next question is from Zander Bank of Barclays. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, team. Thanks very much. Couple quick ones, please. First, two actually on Poland. Just if you could give a bit further color on rising construction cost inflation, if your thoughts have evolved since the last quarter, if it's impacting any of your margins, et cetera, would be helpful. And the second question related to Poland is on, you mentioned that in 2022 there is a contribution from Poland, but you're not including it in the FFO. Can you just give us a rough feeling of how much the contribution would be if you were to include it, and why it was decided not to include it at this time?
Yeah, good morning, Sandra. I'm starting with the last question. I mean, I can also give you the number. So we expect in Poland rents between 2.5 and 3 million euros, and the FFO impact, if you do really the exact calculation, is something between 500,000 and 1 million positive. So yeah, I mean, you can discuss this, but we thought it's perhaps better to concentrate the guidance on the German portfolio, also to make it more comparable. And of course, what we will do in 2022 onwards, that we will also report on the FFO impact on Poland in our quarterly results. So if you want to, so we've got two guidances. The first guidance is for the German portfolio, that's then 190 million. And the second guidance for the Polish portfolio says the result is slightly positive or around zero, but we decided not to put that into a precise number. For 2023 and 2024, of course, the FFO from Poland is much more meaningful, and then you will also see all the figures integrated, but perhaps good to have this in 22 more separated. Hopefully this is then more clear where which FFO contributions is coming from. You ask about rising construction costs. I would say compared to the last quarter, this is unchanged. So yes, it's clear. We also see in Poland rising construction costs, mainly coming from material. If we sign contracts today with general contractors for a project, the price increases are at 5% or even a little bit higher. This is still manageable, as especially sales prices have also increased quite strongly in Poland. As you see now, towards hopefully the end of the pandemic, also quite strongly increasing rent. So therefore, there's not any pressure on our margins, or not really a material pressure on our margins. What's the good thing is that we have still construction companies available and craftsmen available in Poland to do the construction work. And you know that in Germany, this is perhaps an additional problem besides the fact that prices have increased, simply to get construction companies to work. And this seems to be in Poland much more manageable. Let's see how this develops, but we are not so much concerned about that at the moment, although clearly it's a topic.
Okay, great. And just quickly coming back on the first one, in the kind of the helpful range of 2.5 to 3 million rental income versus the contribution of 500,000 to a million on the bottom line, that delta, can you just give a bit of color on that, given that I would have expected that, given your very low financing costs on TAG as a whole, it basically means that, that the delta should have been smaller, i.e. there should be a larger drop through. Are there any other costs that are currently capitalized that flow into the P&L next year?
No, it's mainly the fact that, of course, the platform is already there. So the personal costs, the SG&A are there, and the rents are relatively small in 2022. So therefore, the EBITDA margin is quite low. And this will, of course, change over time. So we are predicting in the presentation, and that's still absolutely valid, an EBITDA margin north of 75%. Yeah, and as rents increase, especially these platform costs will not increase in the same pace. So therefore, you simply have the picture in Poland today that the platform is already there. I mean, people are building the apartments and so on, and the rents, they will now pick up from year to year.
Okay. And currently the platform costs of Vantage, are they fully included in the FFO 1 calculation or not yet?
We're dividing the platform into a platform which is designated for the sales business, which is the smaller one, and a platform which is then designated for the renting business, which is the larger one.
Okay. And what is the, and how much of the platform costs are currently included into the FFO1 number?
That's the majority. So if you ask me percentage-wise, I mean, that's then perhaps around 60 to 70%. And just to make the picture complete, Sander, perhaps that's helpful for the sales result in Poland, we expect next year also a slightly positive result. So in total, the result from Poland coming from FFO contribution from the sales result should be slightly above 1 million euros. It's not the case that we here shift platform costs from FFO 1 to FFO 2 just to make our FFO one number a little bit nicer, so that's all included.
Okay, and just to wrap up on that, basically means that currently the platform costs from the development to hold business included in the FFO 1 number is roughly around 2 million. Does it make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, but perhaps that's it's more complicated. I mean, we're also capitalizing the platform costs who are really directly related to the construction work. So people that are working in the construction department that is capitalized, so the platform cost is a little bit higher.
Yes, for the stuff that's currently under construction, obviously.
Yeah. And perhaps just a final comment. 2022 is quite a transitional year in Poland. I mean, when we acquired Vantage, there were ongoing disposal projects, and we received or are receiving attractive cash flows from disposals. We changed the business model of the company at the beginning of 2020. We started with a Resi for Rent project that leads now to the fact that the first Resi for Rent projects are finished. And on the other side, the Resi for Sale projects have now been reduced if the apartments have been sold and have been handed over. So therefore, 2022 is a year with lower handovers and a starting renting business. So that explains perhaps why the result from Poland 2022, if you want, so is only at 1 or 2 million positive.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks very much. And one final one on a separate topic. I mean, some of your peers have been acquiring large portfolios recently from potentially a somewhat motivated seller. Have you looked at any parts of the portfolio? Is there anything interesting within that that you would be looking to acquire, or are you happy to stay on the sidelines for now?
Well, to be quite clear, we're definitely active, and we look at opportunities in Germany as intensive as in the past. And it's clear if a portfolio, especially in East Germany, is on the market that fits into our structure. And I mean, you mentioned perhaps one transaction that was published. It should be clear that we are also very much interested. So that's one fact. Yeah, we work on that, and we do this really intensively. And the second aspect is pricing. And here we simply have to accept that the prices that perhaps we find reasonable do not seem to be the market prices that are paid today. So that's not really something extremely negative for us, but we think it's really good to be disciplined, to be careful with our capital in Germany. As I said, we're optimistic that we will find acquisitions in the future as well, as in the past, perhaps with small acquisitions, buying more frequently. Yeah, and then we have the external growth prospects in Poland. So therefore, we are not really under pressure to overpay for acquisitions.
Yeah, I understand. Just on that point, because I think part of the portfolio in Eastern Germany that transacted was, I think, broadly in line with book values. You're basically saying that given your underwriting, you believe that is still pretty expensive for your liking?
Well, as far as I know, also, and I think also this was stated in the press releases, that this was above book value, so therefore we
yeah, but not by a huge amount, right? Not by 20-30% or so.
Yeah, it depends on which book values you're looking at. Yeah, I mean, we are now here in a dimension also for portfolios in East Germany where the cash flow yield is not that spectacular if you pay this full purchase price for that. So therefore, it's we are not under pressure to buy another 10, 20, 30,000 units to get into a next efficiency level. We think being a little bit more patient, buying that, as I said, perhaps more frequently or in smaller sizes, building up the German portfolio this way really offers better cash returns. And then, of course, you can argue, yeah, but there should be clearly more yield compression. Yeah, that's a fair point, but we feel more comfortable when we still buy with good cash yields and are not buying with a low cash yield and say, okay, the additional return needs to come from yield compression, otherwise that's not really a positive or a spectacular acquisition. So we continue to act as we've done in the past.
That's extremely helpful, Colin. Thanks very much for that, team.
The next question is from Thomas Neuhold of Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation and taking my questions. There are only two left from my side. Firstly, I was wondering if you can give us an update from your point of view on the coalition talks. Is there anything worth mentioning regarding the residential market which could have a positive or negative impact going forward?
Yeah, good morning, Thomas. I think as most people, I don't know really what is going on in the negotiations in detail. I mean, you know that they have published this preliminary paper. Generally speaking, we thought that was, in a first step, a good result, that here the text or the statement on rent regulation was very short and was not already pointing in a direction of tightening regulation. I think also politicians have realized that, especially for energetic modernizations, you need certain returns, you need certain rent increases. I mean, there are a lot of investments coming in the future to the sector. So that should be hopefully go into a direction where we perhaps continue with the current regulation with slight changes that are manageable, but as I think for most people, this is only something that is more personal opinion. I have not really any detailed insights here.
Okay, understood. And my last question is just out of curiosity. You have the same auditor as Vonovia, KPMG. Vonovia had a revaluation result in Q3, and they said that basically the auditor asked them to do that. I was wondering, did you have similar discussions with KPMG, or was that not a topic in Q3 with you?
Well, it's correct. Also, KPMG is our auditor. We had not such discussions, but perhaps the simple reason is that in the third quarter, KPMG did not carry out a review of their financial statements. Uh-huh. So we have a semi-annual review and now the full-year audit. So therefore, perhaps in our case, there was not a need to discuss this intensively with KPMG, as the Q3 results, as in the past, have not been reviewed.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Marius Pastou of Société Générale. The line is now open.
Hi there, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two left from my side. Just firstly, on your valuation commentary from the presentation, if I heard correctly, your preliminary estimates are showing something along the lines of the first half and maybe slightly below. Is that correct? And did I hear that correctly? And then secondly, on your like-for-like rental growth expectations for next year, looking at around the 1.5% to 2% mark, again, similar to your guidance for this year, this still feels fairly low considering what was achieved prior to the pandemic. And I just wanted to check what your assumptions were here and what is being factored into regarding potential rent controls as we move into next year. Thank you.
Firstly, you heard that correctly regarding my comments about potential valuation uplift. So that should be, let's say, not too far away from the first half, but perhaps slightly lower. But hopefully everyone understands that we can't publish an exact figure today and perhaps also don't want to publish that exactly. So that should be a good valuation result. Perhaps the first half of 2021 was something which was extraordinary, as it becomes clear when we compared it with the past. Looking at the like-for-like rental growth guidance for 2022, it's correct that the guidance stands in a range between 1.5% and 2%. That includes an effect from roughly 30 to up to 50 basis points from vacancy reduction. And if you consider this as conservative, Marius, perhaps you're right, but we have seen simply with the development in 2021 that especially vacancy reduction in these times was a little bit more difficult as in the past. We are still in the pandemic. I mean, infection numbers are rising in Germany and in Europe, so therefore we thought, well, to give a guidance which is very much in line with the rental growth that we saw in 2021 in this unchanged environment seems something that should make sense.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you. So I suppose the question being as well is, if we don't see any significant changes in an underlying rent regulation beyond 2022, should we then start to expect that growth to maybe normalize as it was back in the past at say like a mid 2%, or is the 1.5% to 2% probably more in line with the future now?
No, I mean, this looking really mid to long term in our portfolio, that we have a like-for-like rental growth without vacancy reduction effects of around 2%, that should be a reasonable number. Yeah, and then on top of that would come the effects from vacancy reduction that clearly then depends on acquisitions that we have recently done or certain levels where we are in the respective regions. So in the broader picture, should be more towards 2 and 2.5%.
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Manuel Martin of Oddo BHF. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Martin. Thank you for the presentation. Just one question left regarding Poland, about the political situation in Poland. We see that there are ongoing tensions between the EU, European Union and Poland. Are you a bit worried about political stability, or do you see some headwind coming up from that situation and also from perhaps rising COVID-19 figures?
Well, on the political situation in Poland, you could have perhaps two views, the more general views looking at, as you mentioned, the discussions or the tensions between the Polish government and the European Union. That's definitely not a positive. But for us, it would be more or less excluded that these tensions end up in the fact that Poland leaves the European Union or things like that. So that should be very clear how many advantages Poland has from the European Union, and that's clear for everyone in Poland. So let's see how this develops. But then looking, that's the second view, really detailed in the business that we do in Poland. Do we see here any difficulties? Do we have problems with authorities regarding building permits? Are they open to also foreign investors, yes or not? That's all positive. And we don't really see here anything that limits our business, anything where we said, well, if we would have known that 2 years before, we would have looked differently at the Polish market. So today, the day-to-day business is going, I would say, very smoothly. And then there's more general topics. Yeah, that's something, of course, that we closely follow, but so far has not really an impact on our business.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Rothäusler of Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open.
Hi, morning, everybody. Just coming back on the election in Germany, especially in East Germany. I mean, you mentioned that for a high pricing level, especially in terms of cash flow yields. Is there any pricing point example that maybe from most recent transactions, either multiple or yields?
Good morning, Thomas. This was hard to understand because the line was not really good. Did you ask for a kind of transaction multiples from recent transactions compared with our book values, or?
Yes. I mean, you mentioned high prices, especially with regards to cash flow yields. Maybe you can provide some examples.
I'm not sure whether I understood the question correctly. Sorry for that. So where are cash flow yields going in transactions that we see in East Germany at the moment? I mean, talking about the multiples, you know that we have acquired at 16, 17 times rent in last year. And if you look at current transactions, you find in such portfolios in the meanwhile of multiples north of 20 times rent. And then the argument from buyers of these portfolios is, of course, you should expect rental growth in the future. That's valid. Secondly, that they expect further yield compression. That's also valid. But we think of such transactions like, real estate investors or private people would do, say, well, what we need in such locations, we're talking here about secondary locations, about locations where there's really intensive asset management work necessary. We need from the first day on a good cash flow. And that's what drives us, and that's how we still look at that. And of course, we have also increased our pricings over the last years. I mean, the times where we have bought at a 10 or 12 times multiple, they are far away, that it's clear. Yeah, but still we feel comfortable with the strategy of being here really careful and perhaps not following any price developments that we see today in the market.
Maybe one more question on hard price development. I mean, what has been the most recent momentum there? Maybe I've missed it in the presentation, but for example, most recent momentum with regards to your sales prices there?
You've seen two transactions in the market, although the prices were not specifically disclosed coming from the Adler portfolio, two large transactions where we know that the prices are definitely about book values that we also would have in our company. So therefore, this trend of increasing prices is there, that the fair values of the investment properties will increase over the next quarters or the foreseeable future. That seems to be clear. We're always a little bit careful to pick transactions and say, well, that's an exact comparable to our portfolio. So therefore, we're careful with giving detailed guidance like prices are 10%, 15%, 20% above book values, but that they are above current book values and that this trend of increasing values is continuing, that seems to be clear from our side.
Did you refer to Poland? Is it right?
No, this was for the German portfolio, and then for the Polish portfolio, if this was a question, sales prices have increased throughout the country. So we're talking here about the big six or seven cities in Poland, and that's Warsaw, Krakow, Wroclaw, Poznan, and so on, which was good for us to see. I mean, the Polish economy and the Polish residential market managed the pandemic quite well. So this is clearly a very positive trend that shows basically that the positive trend from the past continues. And the same is true for rents. I mean, we saw in some cities rents dropping during the pandemic. I mean, it's clear that's an unregulated market. And in a situation where, for example, students are not coming to their apartments, they normally rent, then rents have been reduced, although not too drastically. Now this trend has clearly reverted. Rents are already back on the pre-pandemic level and continue to rise. So therefore, in Poland, also prices are increasing, but looking at the, for example, acquisition gross yields or project gross yields, we are still at gross yields of around 7%. And for new constructed apartments in big cities in Poland, in really good central locations, and that's still attractive.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. The next question is from Simon Stippig of Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning, TAG team. Actually, all of the questions were asked already, and I have just two smaller questions. One is the cleanup call of the convertible. What exact cash payment did you have for that in September?
Good morning, Simon. This was after balance sheet date. I think the total amount in absolute terms was around 25 million euros.
Okay, great. And then you mentioned... Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, cash out 25 million all in.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And then another question in regard to what you answered the question of Sander before in regard to the investments, and you mentioned that, yeah, sure, there's the aura surrounding this one motivated seller, etc., and that there was a larger portfolio on the market. And then you said there are, if you would add 20, if I got that right, 20 to 30K units, it wouldn't get you to the next efficiency level. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, our thinking is, I mean, that there could be a need to grow in size. And this is, for example, the case for us in Poland. And we discussed during the call the platform cost being still quite small in comparison to the rents. I mean, we have clearly laid the fundament for our growth in Poland. We need to get to a certain size. You know that the 8,000 to 10,000 units, which is the clear midterm target. So therefore, it makes, from a strategic point of view, also sense to buy to get to a certain efficiency level that really allows you to operate the residential business in a way that makes sense. That's a different scenario in Poland than in Germany, where we own close to 90,000 units. And comparing margin improvements between a portfolio of 90,000 units to 120,000 units. Yes, it's clear. I mean, there's still room for improvement if you have more units. But then the question is it really worth to increase the margin slightly or just in a very small extent and therefore pay a price which is then materially above what you think from real estate perspective makes sense? So is it worth paying a kind of strategic premium for that? And here, for us, the answer for, regarding the German portfolio is clearly no. So we are on a level where we think we can do everything that, we want. We have an efficient platform. And yeah, of course, a larger portfolio helps. But the next margin improvements coming from portfolio size are then really small, as we have seen in the past when our portfolio was growing.
So what you're saying is if you turn around that argument and say, okay, your additional increased gain of one unit because you have slower lower cost in your portfolio, in the German portfolio, and you say that this gain is actually smaller than or is smaller than compared to the higher price you pay for the portfolios in this competitive market here in Germany. It's totally clear that you're setting three more scale effects in regard to your platform in Poland, but just turning around, I mean, it can still make sense to add, especially because you have a presence in Eastern Germany that is non-comparable to a lot of peers, especially listed peers, that you have a competitive advantage there to just buy additional portfolios. So that's what I wondered about. But thanks. I mean, I think you answered the question in my understanding. That's actually it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, many thanks.
If there are no further questions, I hand back to the speaker.
Yeah, many thanks all for dialing in and for the discussion. As always, if there are any questions left, please do not hesitate to contact our department or myself. Thanks again for listening to the call. Have a good day and talk soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.